All right, let's get in the message, okay? I feel like the Lord wants to really nail some things. And the title of this series, it's a short series, is called Faith Wins. Faith Wins. And when we think about faith winning, we think about, you know, okay, here's an example of faith winning. Here's an example of faith winning. God's care, God's timing, God's provision in every single area of our lives. You know, nothing's excluded when it comes down to faith winning in our lives. But we so limit God by our thinking and a lot of times by our own involvement in the situation and the circumstances. And we get in there and we try to fix and move and figure things out and analyze and then distribute and whatever we're going to do to make this work. You know, we limit God. We affect our own faith and the win that he has for us when we do these things. I'm not saying we sit back on our bottoms and don't do anything, but we have this mentality of limiting God by limiting our own faith. So we're going to do a little faith refresher as we go into 2021. You know, I asked earlier, I said, how many are glad 2020 is over? And I'm really glad, but I'm telling you, it's just a day. It's just another day when we transfer from 2020 to 2021. We entered 2020 and everything was kind of normal and was kind of good. It was good for the church. It was good for Christians. Things were going up. The economy was going up. Everything was doing kind of working well. We're looking at the circumstances and the situations of our lives and the situations of our country and even our particular state, and then all of a sudden, the virus. Yeah, ooh, that was a good spot for it. Ooh. And it made a change and interrupted every single one of our lives in a negative way. And so let me sum up 2020, and I'm not going to go into all the gory details, but 2020, the virus made an intrusion and interruption in all of our lives. Political corruption was opened up and the depth in our country and our state was exposed this past year to a degree that we have never known, or it's never been so visible. The lies and the propaganda of the media has been exposed with media and big tech in ways that we're realizing the reality of what we're being fed and all the falsehoods. We've gone through economic loss. The stock market alone lost one third of its value in a couple of months, 3 months, whatever it was. There's been the loss of individual rights, which is tremendous, and it's still happening today. There have been governors and politicians who became ruling tyrants through this time and have determined to bring control under their rulership into the lives of people under a constitutional type government. There have been tremendous incidents of hoarding goods and stock and food and everything else. There's been isolation like we haven't seen, where, I mean, even in our own families, people that don't want to see us because you might be a carrier. We've had that. Been lockdowns. There's been all kinds of issues that have happened in 2020. The greatest synopsis or the characterization of 2020, and I'm going to tell you my own opinion, has been the implanting of fear. Yeah. Yes. underlying everything, fear has been, it's been a real push for people, the people of this state and the people of this country, to accept and live in fear. Fear will make you do all kinds of things or live all kinds of ways that aren't necessary at all. Fear is a controller and a manipulator. Fear is a user. Fear is a weapon of control. Fear is a debilitator. Fear is a paralyzer. We know that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. But when we are so pummeled by fear, our workplaces, our families, our friends, the government, big tech, the media, when we listen to that and we take it in and seed get planted, then we become motivated or moved by fear. That is not what God has given us. It is not God. It is not for us to live in fear. It just isn't. And when I say this is not God, the government is not the best judge of you and how to live your life. Amen. Even without a constitution. God never meant for us, even in Rome, when believers under Nero were martyred for their faith, had little to no rights at all. The church grew. People were still killed for believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But you know, fear was not as pervasive. And this is my own opinion, so let me qualify this. Fear was not as pervasive then as it is now. The Antichrist spirit wants us to live there, to stay there. And we have to make a decision that we're not going to live by fear, in fear, or motivated because of fear in how we live our lives, because faith is what wins. And I'm talking faith in God. We have found in these last days, or throughout 2020, that God is still taking care of His people. He hasn't changed one bit, no matter what the external situations are. And we are living in the last days. Jesus' return is more real, and I believe more, it's more in our face than it's ever been. This is the reality of where we live and our place right now, today. So, the permeation of fear in our society and our culture, we can choose to live in it or not. If we understand that faith wins in every aspect, that is God's will for us. That is His desire, because He created us to win. He created us to live in victory. Jesus said in Luke's gospel, chapter 18, verse 8, and I'm using a part of the scripture, but He said, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth?" And you look around right now, and you look at all the fear that's going on and everything in every place, maybe in some in your lives or our lives as a body. Will Jesus really find faith on the earth? This isn't meant to be condemning, and this is not a rhetorical question. This is something that we have to ask ourselves. Luke 18, verse 8, will he really find faith rather than fear? Because this is our choice, personal choice for every one of us. Are we going to believe God? Are we going to believe the word? Are we going to believe what the enemy, the Antichrist spirit ultimately is trying to pummel us into? Because fear will make you make all kinds of decisions that will destroy your life. And I'm talking now and eternally. Fear pushes into things you would never normally do. Every time we enter a new year, there are unknowns. That's a given. As we enter 2021, there's going to be a lot more unknowns in this coming year. You realize that? Do you realize that all the things that we faced this year in 2020, a preparation for the unknowns that are coming? Romans 8, 28-29. Remember that? God works all things together for the good for them who love him and are the called according to his purpose. And he's conforming us into the image of Jesus through this. He's teaching us things and how to do this and how to walk through, how to live through. But it is by faith in every area of our lives. It is by faith. Will faith be the deciding factor in how we face every unknown in 2021? And that's a question every one of us has got to ask ourselves. Will faith in God or fear be the deciding factor in how we look at, face, and walk through everything from this point on? 2020 has been our prep for this coming year. The title of the message today is called The Faith Factor. The Faith Factor. The definition of a factor, or you want to say a component, is a fact or an influence that contributes to a result or an outcome. A fact or an influence that contributes to a result or outcome. Will faith, the factor of faith, be the influence or the fact that we apply for the outcome God has intended for us? Or will it be fear? From this point on, we're crossing the bridge from one year to another, and there's lots of stuff you can apply this faith factor to coming up. But are we really going to go there? It's good to get entrenched in the fact that faith wins. So let me refresh a little bit on what is faith. And I'm not going to go to the Hebrews 11:1 faith definition that we typically go to, because when you describe faith, it's got to be something that we grasp a hold of, we understand. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What does that really mean? When you apply faith, when you're applying this factor of faith in everything that we face from now on, what does that really mean? How do I make that work? How do I understand that? Faith, and this is, I'm going to give you my definition, okay? It is absolute confidence. When I say absolute, I mean without question. This is it. Absolute confidence in the integrity of God to keep all his promises for you. That's it. Absolute confidence in his integrity to do what he says. To see the result of what he's stated. His word. When we read his word is the extension of who he is to us. It is the extension of his integrity. When I factor in faith, I'm saying, I believe you, Father. I believe you, Lord. I believe you, Jesus. I believe you, Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to move from that. Now the main message, I want to say the kind of the ground rule message of our church, House on the Rock Church, has always been what we call the grace message. And most of you know where we came from, what we were taught, what we grew up in, and how we understand the grace of God. Changed our lives. It's changed a lot of our lives when we understand what God has already done for us. It's already accomplished who we are in Him, what we've been forgiven. There's no condemnation. I mean, the eternal life is ours now. All these things. We're not waiting for God to do anything. All He's promised belongs to us. It is the grace of God and the message of God's grace by faith. By faith. Ephesians 2 verse 8. Everybody know this one? Ephesians 2 verse 8. By grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of yourselves, lest anyone should boast. What is the definition of God's grace? People automatically go to the Greek where it says the favor of God, but it is more than simply favor. If you expand the Greek on this, it is the whole ability of God out of love for you and me to perform, to move in all aspects of your life and my life by His word to you and me. The ability of God out of love to perform and move in every aspect of our lives, no matter what the surrounding circumstances are, no matter what's happening in the world. Do you all know that there's a new strain of corona? Do you know that it's already being pushed by the media? It's already being, come on, be afraid, be concerned. Get your hazmat suit out. Come on. It is the favor, the ability of God out of love to perform and move in all aspects of your life and my life by His word to us. That's His grace. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, and we most of us know these things. Again, this is a refresher. But Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, Lonnie, Libby, others, above all that we ask or even think, according to the power of God through His grace that works in us by faith. That's how this works. To Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, overflowingly, in excess, with a surplus. Wow. Can you go there? I mean, look at what's going on here. We got 1/3 of the jobs and businesses in Michigan are closed down forever. They're gone. Can He really do that for them? By grace, through faith. Does He give you power to create wealth? Does He teach you to profit? Of course. Finances are not an issue with the Lord. A new car isn't. A new car isn't. A healing isn't. A manifestation isn't. Restoration of what the devil took is not a problem. This is not a problem because God's ability is far greater out of love to perform and move in all aspects of our life, every aspect of our life, for us, and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power of His grace that works in us by faith. Grace has to be yoked. Y'all know what I mean by a yoke, right? Linked. I'm talking about linked together with faith in order to live in the fullness of this abundance. Grace has to be linked with faith. You can't exclude either one. It is grace and it is faith. It is both. I tried to live by faith in the late 80s, early 90s, and I tried to understand faith. I came into this understanding, you know, the faith message. And I tried and tried and tried so hard. I was hurting. I was hard times on my job. I was lonely. I was single. I was like, I'm tired of this stuff. I'm not ringing anybody's bell here, am I? So I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried. I mean, really hard in everything inside of me to gain everything I could gain in understanding faith, 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 faith. Just believe, just believe. Without the grace and the understanding of grace. Grace is the key that unlocks being able to receive by faith. Once grace came into my understanding, everything changed. I mean, everything changed. They've got to be yoked together. Because the grace is ours. It belongs to us. It came by salvation through Jesus Christ. But it is the faith aspect, the factor of faith that we have to apply. That's how we win. Faith wins when the two, grace and faith, are tied together. Anybody had one of those promise books? You ever had one of those? Maybe it's me, I'm old, but I went to the, this is how old, far back it was, Christian bookstore in Vegas. Had the Christian bookstore, and then you had the devil's bookstore. You had the, I'm telling you, really. I mean, it was a occult bookstore. And I went to the Christian bookstore, and do you remember where Charleston Boulevard was? Up there. So I went to the Christian bookstore, and I thought, man, I've started to understand faith. I think I am, and I'm believing for these things that are happening, changes in my life, and changes of God's promises. So I went and get a promise book. And I'm reading these promises. I mean, it was a thick book because God's got a lot of promises. And I'm reading these promises. I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. And I was trying so hard to believe. I was working at believing God. But I didn't understand grace. I can't tell you how important it is to tie the two together. By grace you have been saved. And that salvation, that saved aspect of sozo in Greek, is so all-encompassing. Through faith. Now, what happens is when we teach the grace message, a lot of times we teach people how to receive because we're built as trying to go for things and get this and do this and go out and do, and we come out of a performance mentality where we've got to work for and earn something that God's already done for us. And we come into grace and we understand it. Wow, it's been done. Okay, great. That's wonderful. And we sit and apply the grace part, but we forget the faith part. Still have to put faith with the grace. See, neither one works without the other. Okay? It's grace by faith. Faith wins. This is where faith factors into our lives. This is the beginning. This is the basis. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And I want to say welcome to 2021. Because this is it. This is what we need. And we need to remember this. This is important. This is where we base our faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith. Now he's speaking about, the writer is speaking about, as a starting point. This is our, where we leap from. This is the diving board that we take off from. Without faith as a starting point, it is impossible to please him. Now, I want to stop right here because our minds and our past kind of begin to bring in things that aren't really the word and aren't really who God is. So, okay, I think without faith, it's impossible to please him. In order to please him, right, I'm bowing down. And it's please, it's to make happy, it blesses him. It honors him. It blesses God that we believe him, that we trust him, that we, it's like there's a love, an embrace type thinking. It's a, oh, you believe me. We take it typically and say, without God, it is impossible to please him, and we look at it as appeasement. I've got to perform, and I've got to do, and I've got to do right in faith, and I've got to appease you to go any farther. You know, that's paganistic. That's pagan. That's how pagan worship works. That's how the cults work in this day and age. Buddhism, Mormonism, Islam. This is how they work. You've got to appease God first. Stop that. We don't appease God. He loves us. It's pleasing him. It's blessing him. It's letting him, in a sense, embrace you because you believe him. How do you feel? How do you feel when somebody believes you? I feel good. That's what it means. Okay? Same thing. Without faith as a starting point, it's impossible to please him. For he or she who comes to God must believe that he is. That he is what? That he is all that he says he is. That he is all that he says he is. And that he is a rewarder. Now in the Greek, this understanding of rewarder is somebody that pays wages. Now we can all relate to this, right? We've all had jobs, or we've all worked jobs. We've all lived this way. We've all lived according to, okay, when you do something for a living or you do something for somebody, typically you get a wage, a payment. God wants us to understand that this is what he wants to do. You know, I guess in a way you could say this reward for our trust and actually believing him, taking him at his word in faith. He wants to bless us by paying us. Right, Lonnie? Out of the box, exceedingly abundantly, above all we can ask or think in these times and coming up in 2021. Right, Holly? Right? Amen. Amen. Without faith as a starting point, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is all he says he is, and that he is a rewarder and pays wages to those who diligently, with their heart, seek him out. That's all. And it is that simple. That is the basis for our faith. This is the faith factor that works in our lives. When we do this, this is what we apply, this belief. And it's just like Hebrews 11:6 says. It's exactly the same. This is how it starts. You could live the rest of your life on this scripture in faith with God under his grace. Every one of us could. But he wants to take us beyond that. You open the door, please. David, you open the main doors. Thank you. Let me give you some faith realities, and there's more than this. You probably have some in your lives that you can think of beyond this, but let me give you some realities of faith. We cannot live without faith. You realize that? It has to be an integral part of our lives. We were made to live in faith. And live by faith. We cannot experience, and I'm talking about the experience of salvation. I'm not talking about salvation as a mental thing, but the experience of salvation in our lives without faith. We cannot live or experience eternal life here and now and the day we go home without faith. We can't know God without faith. We can't gain increase, prosperity, freedom from sin or condemnation in this life without faith. We can't stay in peace and joy and righteousness without faith. We can't see the end from the beginning without faith. Faith is the solution to every single problem. Faith is the factor that we apply to every single thing we face. And coming in 2021, you're going to face stuff. Again, there are more unknowns in 2021, I believe, than there ever has been. Except that we know because the Holy Spirit lets us in, right? He makes it known to us. But faith is the solution to every single problem that you and I face now and are going to face. God has supplied. Will you believe him at the jumping off point, this factor at Hebrews 11:6? Will we do that? Faith is assured that God has already provided what he promised. Assured. I don't have to beg for it. It's mine. Faith takes ownership of what God has given. Faith is assured, assured that God has provided what he promised. Faith accepts that God's promises are available for anyone and everyone, the same across the board for those who believe. Faith is not overwhelmed by the mountain of facts. Faith overwhelms the facts of the mountain. Faith isn't conquered, but conquers. You understand that faith is aggressive? Faith is not laid back and kind of like, well, okay, sera, sera. Faith is aggressive under grace. Finally, faith works by love. This whole aspect in Galatians chapter 5, when Paul writes this, love of God is the engine that powers our faith. When you know you're loved, when you by faith know that you're loved, if you don't know it, you can't feel it, you can't sense it, but you believe it and you're not moved, guess what? Faith takes place and things change because faith works by love. Where you place your faith is where you'll see your fruit. We can put faith in the government, which is misplaced faith. That's hard for me not to laugh on that too. Okay, you can put, and a lot of people are doing that now, and that's part of the training. And the movement of our society has put more faith in the government. The government care, the government surplus, the government provides, the government directs, the government leads, the government is all-knowing. When you put faith in the circumstances, when you put faith in the lockdowns, when you put faith in the governor, when you put faith in fear, because we do, when you put faith in a virus or faith in whatever vaccine, or whatever, you put faith in the job loss, or you put faith in what might have been stolen, or you put faith in all these other areas, and you keep looking at those things and you're going, I believe you. All those destructive situations, when you put faith there, that's where you'll see your fruit. When you put faith in God, and you put faith in his word, which is the extension of who he is. When you do that, that's where you see the fruit of what he's promised. What we have by grace through faith. You cannot fake faith. A lot of times in this word of faith movement, what I noticed and what I grew up with was if you fake it, you fake it till you make it. You fake it until you actually believe it. You fake faith. You speak faith. You do faith. You walk in faith. You live faith. You don't let anybody know that you're really struggling with. Why aren't you receiving? You don't tell anybody the truth. You fake it. Now, I was grateful for the teaching that I got, but I understood that a lot of people faked faith. You don't have to fake faith. Okay? You can't fake it. You're either going to believe God or you're not. It's one or the other. The man who had an epileptic son, Mark chapter 9, said, "Your disciples couldn't heal my son?" Will you do it? Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That means nothing in a Greek means nothing is withheld. Nothing is withheld from him who believes. And he said, I believe, but please help my unbelief. So he was, you know, I mean, he did the best he could. And we do that a lot of times. And are we really, and this is a self-exam, this is not condemning. Is that we have to look at these things in us. Are we faking faith? Is the doubt and unbelief so permeated in us? Then, okay, we can change this. We can get past the doubt and unbelief by getting in the Word, by spending time with Him, by seeking His kingdom and who He is in reality for us and to us. We can do that. And we can get rid of doubt and unbelief. We don't have to fake faith anymore. Okay? You cannot fake faith. It must come from the belief of the heart and knowing God as He really is. This is where faith takes place. This is it. Wish I had more time. Romans 10, 9 and 10. I won't go there. Speak about confession with the mouth and the belief in the heart. Because this is where faith takes place. It comes down to what happens in our heart. Our heart is what places. We can have a mental acknowledgement of something we believe in or something that the Word says or a promise of God. We can mentally say, I agree with this. And that's what it is. It's agreement. But the belief comes from the heart. Every part of what we believe comes from the heart, not our head. Our heads are only in agreement or have knowledge. Big part of this is knowing God as He really is. How do you apply the faith factor so faith can win under grace? Going into 2021, here we go. Two how-tos. Number one, Romans chapter 4. If you read verses 19 through 21, it's about Abraham. Wasn't weak in faith. He was strong in faith because he just dug in. He believed God. God spoke to him and he said, I'm not moving. I'm looking at this 100-year-old body and I'm going, ay, 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 are you kidding me? We had a neighbor that was 96. Until a few days ago. And as a real visual of somebody that is older. And having a child, forget it. Right? In the natural. Abraham dug in. Didn't look at his own body. Or Sarah had never had a child in all those decades. Ever. She had a dead womb. Verse 20. Romans 4 verse 20. Abraham did not waver. He didn't go, well, I'm going to believe. Well, I'm not going to believe. Well, I'm going to be in faith. Well, I'm not even going to try to fake it. He stayed in the fact of believing God for who He is and what He said. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, this faith factor, giving glory to God in verse 21 and being fully convinced. Now this fully convinced, to boil it down, is in his heart, not his head. He had the information, but it was in his heart that he believed. And being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to do. Period. There was no room for any other what ifs. And number two, Hebrews 11, verse 11, says that by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was 90 years old because she judged him faithful who had promised. So here it is. Not wavering at the promise of God, but being fully convinced that what he promised is true in the heart, and judging him faithful to what he promises. This is where the rubber meets the road for every one of us. Have we decided in our hearts that God is faithful? Most of the time we don't. Have we decided in our hearts that God is faithful to us to keep his word? This is the faith factor. Does he or doesn't he? It's a judgment that we make. Number two, are we fully assured in our hearts that he's good to his word, no matter what? That's it. Stand with me, please. Faith wins. Amen. Faith will win every time. Amen. Going into 2020, faith will win every time. Don't get lulled, don't get pushed, don't get manipulated, don't get bought into this aspect of fear. Don't do it. You don't have to. None of us do. I know that we have to be subject to some of these rules of the government. But we have also civil laws, and we're going to be making more and more moral choices. I'm telling you, it's coming. 2021. Faith wins. Go factor in faith to the grace that has been given to you. Don't waver at the promises, but be fully convinced in your heart that what God has promised is yours, and judge him faithful in your heart. Everything you face from now on. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for today. I thank you, Jesus, for being Lord, that all this stuff is already conquered that we're going to face. We're already victorious. It's given to us. We're going to live by faith. We're going to walk by faith. We're going to apply faith, because faith wins in this grace you've given us. It belongs to us, and it is our right. We're going to live this way from now on. And we're going to see the supernatural and the manifestations of your word in our lives like never before. Going into 2021 is going to be a powerful year for us in you, Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for cementing this in our hearts fully in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody need prayer today? Faith prayer? Anybody need a faith prayer? Anybody need faith manifestation? Come on up. Prayer? Team, please, come on up. Let's get it done. Let's just get it done. Today's your day to get it done. Anybody need anything else? Good. Let's get it done. Go ahead and grab a prayer team minister. Okay? You need anything else? Get up here. Get it done. Prayer team, get it done. In Jesus' name. You're a blessing, everybody. Happy New Year. I love you. Praise God.